This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, Wrestle Talk Radio. Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? Huh? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Do try the chips.
Omega.
It really is. It's a screwdriver. It's something.
Mace.
I'm not just the Time Lord. I'm the last of the Time Lords.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Excuse me, do you mind not farting while I'm saving the world?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Oh, I don't want the song to stop. This has special meaning to me. But we must talk. Welcome to WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Oh, I haven't heard this in a while. So, we got a lot to talk about. We got a pay-per-view coming up. Yes, we just finished a pay-per-view. They're overstocking them. We just give them away these days. Literally, the network's free right now. But in the meantime, there's a much better event going on that happened on Wednesday. We have to talk about it. But we'll get to all that. First off, this is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our little network. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Yes, I am here. I am also on pay-per-view coming up in 3 weeks.
Oh, you too?
Me too.
Jeez, I'm not supposed to be there for another month.
That's right. I think we got Tim in 5 weeks, and then Rox in 6, and then Lindsay in 7. Then it goes back around again, and we start all over again with WWE.
Okay. Just making sure.
Pay-per-views weekly on the WWE Network.
So is it one-night stand, the Mace thing, or one-night only, the Mace thing? Or what would you call your pay-per-view?
An evening with the Mace thing.
An evening with the Mace thing. Okay.
Because I watch way too much Kevin Smith Q&As.
Gotcha.
And, of course, leading this little train wreck we call a radio show, the one and only Tim Stein. The one and only Tim Stein.
New computer.
The one and only Tim Stein!
Turn on your microphone, Tim.
I'm just going to let the song play out until he actually starts talking.
You might have to loop it.
Oh, we might.
We could always try and do clapping like New Day. Power of positivity, people!
Alright, I'm just trying this again. Did it work?
No.
Just by you saying no, I'm going to assume that the answer is yes.
Whatever.
I don't know what happened. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And yes, I am free to new subscribers only. For life.
Tim is cheap, people.
Yeah, but I'm not easy. Wait a minute. What? I'm easy, but I'm not cheap. Whatever. I don't know. Hey, you know what? Yeah, Elimination Chamber, exclusively on the WWE Network. Now, is this just the thing that they said, you know what, we're going to do this on the network only, don't worry about the all the outlets, or is it all the outlets saying, screw off, you got your own thing?
It's called, they came up with the idea, they had 2 weeks to try to get on pay-per-view, they're trying to get on pay-per-view, if they don't get on pay-per-view, only on the WWE Network.
So there you go. It's nice to have your own network when all the pay-per-view providers say, yeah, piss off. Give us more warning.
It's called, hey, we thought of this idea. Let's do something with it.
There you go, yeah. So we'll be playing Pick'em later on.
Kinkins, get ready to record everyone's picks.
Absolutely. And, I just want to tell you guys right now, with Pick'em, we are efforting actually a prize for you. Provided it can be found.
Someone's going to be doing a lot of cleaning and digging.
Somebody's going to be doing a lot more digging and cleaning. See, the problem is they cleaned up and rearranged everything around here. And now I got to do it all over again to figure out where the hell I put everything away. Anyway, you know those little baby on board things you see on car windows when you're driving down the street?
Yeah.
You know, the little yellow diamond. Well, we've got something here similar. It says WWE fan on board. So if I can find that thing, because I was able to acquire it, and then I put it away for good keeping and forgot where that was. But if I can dig that out, whoever wins,
pick 'em. In North America.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Whoever wins, pick 'em. North America only. Foreigners. but North America only. Whoever wins, pick 'em, will get this thing. And then, yes, it will be sent out to you. We don't need the goddamn jokes and shit.
No, do we include, like, Hawaii? Does Hawaii count in North America?
Is that North America? No, it's not the continental United States.
Okay. Just making sure.
So there you go. So, like, if you're in Alaska, yeah. Yeah, if you're in Alaska, you can win. Because technically that's continental North America. Hawaii's an American state, but it's not part of North America, so it's, you know, sticky and tricky. But, yeah, that's unfortunate for everybody living, in other places. But we'll get something figured out for you coming up hopefully soon. Sooner the better. And you might like it, you might not like it, but we've got something in mind, and we'll let you know when it's ready. Right, Rock?
Yes.
Right. So that being said, why don't we just dive into everything, starting off with what we normally start off, our win and fail for the week. And because I always go to Omega for a change, we'll start with Mason, your win.
I'm just going to point at NXT Unstoppable and go that.
Fair enough. You don't even need to elaborate because we're going to talk about it later.
pretty much. It was one of those really good events, and you can pretty much just go point at it and go, I like that.
There you
go. Do more of that.
All right, Omega.
I could say the exact same thing. Just like spin Unstoppable around. Let me throw a dart and whatever hits. Yeah, that.
Yeah, we're not gonna hold that against you. And believe it or not, kids, I'm making it unanimous. I'm holding up a picture of NXT Unstoppable and from NXT Takeover, and I'm pointing to it and I'm saying this. May said that, I said this. See how I did that? So anyway, yeah, it's really there's no discussion.
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. We got no discussion or nothing over this. There's no debate. No, well, you're wrong or, yeah, I guess we can, nothing. Cause it's like just so, if you missed it, you're an idiot. That's all I've got to say. No offense intended, but holy cow, what a great show that was. We'll talk about it more coming up in, just a bit. I don't want to get
carried
away.
No offense intended, you fucking moron.
Yeah, no offense intended, but you're an idiot for missing it. if you missed it deliberately, accidentally, different story. So what's your fail for the week? Maybe we should go to Omega first this time.
If I can remember Raw well enough. That's a bad thing. That's the one bad part about TakeOver specials is Raw just becomes a blank.
It's a secondary thing to even think about.
It really, yeah, it really kind of is.
Seriously.
But usually when that happens, it's the TakeOver special. Then the pay-per-view, so Raw doesn't matter at that point.
Yeah, it's...
They did it opposite this time. I think well intended doing it opposite. When you think about it.
Jeez, it's just... No, I don't... You know, Raw actually wasn't that bad this week, but... The only fail I take away is probably... The latter half of Lana's face turn, because Ziggler confuses the hell out of me. Like, it comes, maybe that's what it is, but it comes across as, like, going off to date the most American boy on the roster.
But Jack Swagger isn't available.
He's not over enough, and we've seen the feud.
Yeah, Jack Swagger's the one they threw at Rusev every other week just to give Rusev another win.
Okay, fair enough. Mace?
It's not so much something that happened on the show, but more reactions to the show.
Okay.
We had a extremely good segment between John Cena and Kevin Owens, which would have been my win if NXT Unstoppable didn't happen. Because let's face it, John Cena getting hit with a pop-up powerbomb, fucking hilarious. I would watch it over and over again in a GIF.
That was the only real hugely memorable thing that happened on Raw.
Pretty much, but the thing that annoyed me was a lot of people turning around and going, who's this fat fuck? Who's this Kevin Owens guy?
And I'm looking, hey, it's Kevin Steen.
It's like, and it was the attitude that came with it. It was, who's this Kevin Owens guy? Why should I give a shit about him?
Who the hell
does he think he is? Why is he referencing a past that's not WWE related? Mm-hmm. Why is he trying to live off past glories, blah, blah, blah? And yet you can turn around and go, look at this guy in NXT. Nah, I don't want to look at it. Anything that he's done prior to showing up on Raw. And yes, Mr. New Day Navigator.
Is that Clint Bowman?
That's Bowman.
I knew it was Bowman.
He and I have talked about this, and I'm going to bitch about it because I fucking can.
So there are, fucker. I have the microphone, so you will listen to everything I have to say.
Ha! Scott Steiner, damn it.
By the way, we're going to take phone calls later on, so get ready for a rebuttal.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. But anyway, continue.
But yeah, it was just one of those things of, and it's not just the particular thread that Bowman and I both comment on. I've seen it in other places as well, because I decided to go digging on other forums. Surprisingly enough, staying away from wrestling forums and finding other forums that have, like, subcategories for wrestling and shit.
Yeah.
And it was the same type of attitude. It was like, we don't care what he's done in NXT. He looks like a fat... He doesn't look like a wrestler. Because of his size and everything. I'm like, motherfucker, you realize that that guy is, like, 10 times better looking than, you know, Bray Wyatt, for example, who's the same type of body build?
Well, he's 5 times the worker John Cena is, too.
That's debatable.
Well, okay, but, 3 times.
Yeah, but it's one of those things, though, that... People don't seem to give a shit about a character until they show up on the main roster, but even then, they seem to have an instant judgment without even giving the guy a chance to really do anything. Because, let's face it, this is the opening salvo in quite possibly Kevin Owens' build-up to coming onto the main roster. And people have already made a judgment of, he's fat, that means he's lazy, that means he can't work. And if he's referencing ROH, then he's a fucking moron.
Well, aren't these the same people that masturbate to Bray Wyatt? I mean, figuratively speaking, I'm assuming. I'm just turning a phrase.
Well, it's the ones that pretty much pretend that these guys have no history until they hit the roster, and then they're meant to come with this big ass backstory that they're meant to learn in 5 minutes through one promo.
Yeah.
You know, what happened with building a character over time, for fuck's sake?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what got to me. It was just the reactions to Kevin Owens, people just looking at him and instantly judging him without seeing him in a match, without even bothering to look up his NXT stuff, or anything like that, and just going off one promo.
Yeah.
It's fucking stupid. Give the guy a chance before you decide to shit on him, fuck's sake. Not everybody can make you collectively orgasm like fucking Neville did when he debuted.
Well, why shit on him after he gives Cena the pop-up powerbomb? I mean, that was the pop, naturally.
Because he shouldn't be going up against a guy like Cena.
Oh, please.
That was the other thing, was he shouldn't be going up against Cena. Bullshit! Cena has become the gatekeeper for guys coming into the company.
Yeah.
He's put on great matches with guys that are on the up and up. Well, so to have NXT guys come in and put on a fucking show with Cena, like Sami Zayn did, like Neville has done, fuck, it's a great idea. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, Bowman, there's a difference with us shitting all over New Day and this discussion here. That's a totally different thing. I don't know if you read the chat room, Mace.
Oh, yeah, I'm seeing it all. And, yes, we all did shit on the New Day. But the thing is, New Day have embraced it and have become hysterical because of it.
Yeah, they're fun. It's one of those things they're giving you the opportunity to have fun heckling them.
Because here's the thing, New Day did suck.
Still do suck. But like Mace pointed out, they're having fun with it.
Yeah, it's a Kurt Angle suck. It's fun to watch them suck.
Yeah. I'd love to hear the Kurt Angle song play one more time in WWE. I don't know why. Anyway. Okay, so that's really not so much your fail, but your comment on the fail of the viewers who have their minds made up.
Can I just comment on what Mace ran out about?
I suppose.
Hashtag typical wrestling fan. Anyway, moving on.
Fair enough.
Because it is. That's what they do. They bitch and moan right away without giving anything a chance.
So I guess it's my turn for my fail. I guess, I don't know, Rose and Rose kissing on TV.
That's disgusting. We don't need to see those two making out on TV, because especially if you watch the ESPN E60, he's married. Okay.
Rant sponsored by Sir Rocket.
You're welcome for your fail, Tim.
There you go. Yeah, okay. So. But you know what? You know what? I don't need to see a movie star who's married to somebody kiss another movie star who's married to somebody else in a movie then. Isn't that the same thing you're bitching about?
I don't know, I guess. I don't know.
I just don't I just don't like seeing Rosa macking with anybody. I don't know what it is.
You asked for a fail. That's the best I can come
up with. That's all there is to it anyway. All right, so that's our win in the fail for the week. He said talking over Rock. Moving on. Guys, we had to say goodbye to David Letterman this past week.
They are so overwhelmed with emotion they can't.
Yes, we did.
Did you guys even watch Letterman?
They rang the bell 10 times and
hashtag
WWE put a memoriam thing up.
Hashtag, I know it's not wrestling, but fuck, it's David goddamn Letterman. He's an icon.
Yes, I watched the episode.
33 years, over 6,000 episodes. Of course I fucking caught the finale.
There you go. Yeah, I've watched more than just the finale. It was a good, the final show was kind of enjoyable, and it was bittersweet and all this other stuff. But he was hip when I was young.
Well, yeah, he still had a hip when you were young.
Yeah, ba-dum-bum.
And a heart, anyway.
We need to.
But I gotta say this. Who was it? She played Elaine on Seinfeld.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Her coming out during the top 10 and saying thank you for letting me be a part of another absolutely woeful finale. And they cut straight to Jerry Seinfeld, and he's like, "You bitch!"
And you're like, "Really? Seriously?" She called it an underwhelming finale, didn't she?
Yeah, underwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, really? Seriously? And the look on his face.
That was amazing.
That was just priceless as hell. Of course, David Letterman show is absolutely notorious in the wrestling world for what, kids?
Yes, yes, yes.
Andy Kaufman.
Andy Kaufman, yes. And Jerry Lawler.
Andy Kaufman getting bitch slapped on live TV.
Which was one of the few actual clips they showed during the big, photo highlight reel during the final song.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm surprised that Lola didn't show up.
Not a big enough star.
Yeah, that's the bad thing. Like, when you get, Jerry Seinfeld and Jim Carrey and Julie Louis-Dreyfus and Tina Fey and all these, big stars just to read the top 10 list, I think you're covered at that point.
Yeah, especially since the bit was 25 years plus ago.
Yeah, but then again, they got this football guy that fucking even I couldn't identify.
Peyton Manning?
You couldn't identify him. Peyton
Who
Manning?
The fuck's that?
Somebody who's apparently shorter than Dave Letterman.
I don't know. He had I think he had an Oreo commercial once. With his Super Bowl winning brother.
By the way,
I know all about Eli.
By the way,
I'm trying to hear what the fuck's his brother's name again.
Yeah. By the way, if you would like to chime in on the show, you can join us in our live interactive chat room at wildtalkradio.com, or you can tweet us at wildtalkradio. Like Aaron Frost just did, I really wish Tim Stein had knowledgeable information coming out of his mouth.
Oh, you know, that cowboy Aaron Frost needs to just, you know, slow his roll. That's all there is to it.
But again, you can tweet us at wildtalkradio. During the show, we'll read your tweets, like we just did, live on the air.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, in honor of all the decades of laughs that Dave has given us, we've got our very own WTR Sunday night version of the top 10. Top 10 reasons why Vince McMahon is a genius. All right, top 10 reasons why Vince McMahon is a genius. Number 10.
Wait.
What? What?
Who wrote this?
Ian Brock. About, I don't know, an hour before the show started.
Couple hours before the show.
I'm going to go get a Coke.
Yeah, sit back, relax, and enjoy. Okay, number 10, the Punjabi Nightmare, the Great Khali as world champion. Number 9, I choppy choppy your pee pee. Coming in at number 8, being the genetic jackhammer and giving us his bastard son Hornswoggle. And at number 7 on the top 10 list, top 10 reasons why Vince McMahon is a genius, the 2001 invasion featuring tiny cowboy hat wearing Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle, the most positive stalker Diamond Dallas Page, and the $1 billion breasts. No, wait. We actually did enjoy those.
We did enjoy her flotation devices.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, number 6, challenging God to a wrestling match on a Sunday.
Blasphemy.
Number 5, being brave enough to reinvent the wheel and giving us the XFL.
Gotta do it with more passion.
It's the XFL. Oh, the way that he did it that one time? Yeah. The XFL. It hurts my throat too much.
Yeah, it kind of hurts. Throat. Yeah.
And at number 4, the Kiss My Ass Club, because really, stop and think about it, who doesn't want to look at a 60-year-old man's pasty white ass? At number 3, Mae Young gives birth to a hand.
She did.
At number 2, making Trish Stratus strip on live TV, then bark like a dog. I don't mind that too much. And the number 1 reason why Vince McMahon is a genius, Katie Vick. Enough said.
Well, that was a waste of fun.
And there it is. In honor of David Letterman. So, let's move
on
back
now.
And actually talk about normal stuff. You guys don't need to be dicks. I've got one who's in the chat room right now. I think he's in the chat room. Did he show up?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did, Aaron Frost. He's enough of a dick. You guys don't need to help him out. But that being said, why don't we actually just talk a little bit about TakeOver, Unstoppable. It was something refreshing to watch. I unfortunately didn't get a chance to catch every little bit that was going on just because my TV was buggering up, but it was good.
Even a little bit of this is bad and mess.
Well, give us your impressions of it.
I was waiting to see if someone else would make noise. Did you put Mace to sleep?
No, I was waiting for Omega. I was trying to be polite this week, but you know, fuck you all.
I'm just flabbergasted because I'm used to you guys talking over each other. It's so weird.
Trying out this new weird thing. It's like trying to be professional.
Screw that.
What?
This is WTR Sunday Night on wildtalkradio.com. How dare you?
Plus, one of us has to at least communicate with the people in the chat.
Well, there you go. Oh, your chair needs some oil. Holy cow.
That would be Omega's chair.
That's who I was talking to.
Yeah. It needs some screws tightened and some WD-40.
Yeah, and all that other stuff. And while you're at it, just go get a new chair.
I got this thing on Christmas Eve. I don't know why it's already a piece of shit.
Because it's a cheap-ass chair from IKEA?
It's not!
It's not from IKEA or it's not a cheap-ass chair.
Neither.
Okay. It's so, a chair wrestling. From Walmart. Did you guys know Samoa Joe was showing up?
Way to spoil the ending, Tim.
Did we just skip right to the end there?
Well, we're not going
to... We're not going to talk about Finn Balor getting rid of the symbiote idea because, you know, Marvel probably got the paperwork through for the cease and desist order.
I don't think it has so much to do with that as it does... That's what Finn does. He just changes up the paint and the costume whenever he really feels like it.
Either way, it was, like, very good... Like, once again, the artwork that the people do on him for these specials is fucking insane.
Yeah. Like, I love the Demon Maw thing in the between the neck and the chest, but fucking hell, the back paint. Like, you could, like, hear the crowd popping again when they got a look at the paint on the back.
Yeah, which was previewed on, like, Twitter and shit, but people forgot all about it, and then when they saw it again, it's like, holy shit, awesome! But, you know, I feel sorry for Tyler Breeze, though. Mm-hmm. He finally gets a bit fancier on his entrance, and he still gets overshadowed by Finn Balor.
You can't go to... You can't make an entrance against Finn Balor at a TakeOver and not get overshadowed. Because, holy shit. Like, I've seen this... I've seen him come out with a full paint and the full-blown entrance. A few times now. They're still fucking awesome. I dig the bat wings. I dig the spikes. He looked like a fucking demon.
Well, I suppose that was the idea. But, you know, not to take away from the actual match or anything, which was, like, very, very, extremely good. Very spotty, but, you know, that's what happens when you're in NXT.
Yeah. Well, I have to admit, you guys, I am not exactly the most dedicated viewer of NXT. But what I saw at Unstoppable sure makes me want to make sure I do everything I can to take time out to make sure I catch a few more shows.
Well, that is the idea. It's almost as if they charge you by month for it.
There you go, yeah. Well, you see, up here in Canada, don't know if you realize that, but they actually have NXT on regular network television. It's on the same station that plays Raw and SmackDown, which is Sportsnet 360. The only problem is I'm usually kind of busy doing other things when it comes on TV on Tuesdays. So, but yeah, I'm going to have to start taping it and watching it more often.
Only if there was some on-demand network thing that you could somehow get access to.
Yeah, an on-demand network. What would that be? I wonder. And how much might it cost?
Probably about $11.50 Canadian.
It's actually $12.99, I think, or $11.99 something. $11.99 or $12.99. But the thing about that is you actually have to have cable because you have to buy a cable package to be able to get the online stuff on demand. And I'm not giving cable TV any more money ever again. So I'll figure it out some way.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But, the stream that I had that I was watching was a little bit sporadic and spotty and... So I caught bits and pieces, but it was, you know, how these things go. They got choppy. So what little I did see captivated me.
Indeed. Like, I was very entertained from start to finish, even during the women tag team match with the bitch.
Yeah.
But, you know, that just goes to show that, hey, even in NXT, Emma's still jobbing out. Thank you. Thank you, writers. Thank you.
You just really don't really love her that much, do you now?
I hate the bitch with every bone in my body. my final words to that bitch the day that she was getting ready to leave was best of luck in your future endeavors.
Yeah, of course, just so those of you who are listening know this, Mace happens to know Emma. So he's not... dissing her because he just doesn't like the bride. he's dissing her because he knows her enough not to like her.
Pretty much, just along with at least 75% of old Melbourne wrestlers. But anyway, one thing that did confuse me, Alexa Bliss coming out of fucking nowhere and supposedly turning heel.
Yeah, what was all that about?
I have no clue.
Let me say that in Canadian. What was all that about, eh? I don't know why I did that, just because it was funny.
I don't think anybody really had a clue, like, the people I was talking to, Bowman being one of them,
yeah,
we were both on Skype talking at the time. It's like, Bliss just turned heel. Why? Huh? The fuck? Bitch, explain. And nothing.
Well, they've got photos of him now where she's got matching gear for Blake and Murphy.
Yeah, I saw the photos from the tapings. But hey, now she's coming out to Wob Wob Wob. All good.
The seizure intro.
Yeah, awesome stuff. Oh, what else? Was really good and entertaining?
Well, that's pretty much the entire show. But the NXT Women's match,
holy shit! Like this was main event caliber on the main roster.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they were telling a story. It was pretty much, hey, Ronda Rousey, go fuck yourself with your armbar.
There was actual ring psychology in this match. And it's the divas in the training league.
Well, everybody knows how much we detest a lack of ring psychology when we're watching wrestling, whether it's an indie show, the farm club, if you will, to use a sports vernacular, or, you know, the main WWE roster, or even TNA for those of you who still watch that. But
ring psychology, nobody watches TNA, Tim.
Yeah, well, nobody can get it. So that's a different story altogether. But
people watch TNA. People watch TNA. I have the real numbers, and the DVR is way higher than people tell you.
Oh! The real numbers, including people who record it and then record over it before watching it.
Yeah.
Right.
Way higher.
Of course it is. You know, a lot of people lose bets, I guess, and have to fill up their DVRs. I don't know.
But yeah, the match was fucking incredible.
So, yeah. My question is, what's his name that hurt his shoulder?
Hideo Itami.
No. Hurting his shoulder, wrestling John Cena in his hometown of Montreal.
Oh,
Sami Zayn.
Now,
shoulder injury is very popular this season.
Now, here's the thing, right? It was Sami Zayn was supposed to face Kevin Steen. Kevin Steen attacks him early and kicks the living crap out of him. And of course, those of us who are smart marks are looking at this saying, okay, well, they're protecting Sami because he hurt his shoulder. So, they're doing what they can to like make sure that it looks good without causing any potential problems. But, because Joe showed up, my thinking is, how long have they planned this? And was the shoulder injury, maybe that's the kayfabe?
No.
You know what I mean?
No, because you could see the moment he hurts his shoulder on when he was on Raw.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying, right? Just bringing that up.
Not even worth putting devil's advocate to that one, Tim. Because this match, they actually fucking wrestled. Really, you know, props to Sami Zayn because he does his shoulder almost, you know, a week and a half earlier. Still gets into the ring and wrestles a pretty good match against Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was just, again, these two, once again, putting on an absolutely great match. And props to Owens because wearing the John Cena, the champ is here shirt.
Yep.
I laughed my ass off when he came out with that. It's like, ooh, shit, shots fired, fuck.
That was the second shot fired in a row. Of course, first one being the pop-up powerbomb. But, yeah. No, it's really good. And then, you know, up came Joe. Joe's gonna kill you.
Yeah, I love that the crowd knew who he was immediately, though. It's probably the same people who attended the TNA tapings.
You know, that just gets me. How could you not know it was Joe? I mean, look, when Rob Van Dam finally joined WWE, he told them, I'm going to get a huge pop because they know me. You know, when CM Punk first came on board, when Bryan Danielson first came on board, all of the smart fans knew who these guys were. And there were enough smart fans to make a huge noise.
Well, that and the production guys fucked up. The graphics and music started, and of course the first thing that pops up on the graphic is Samoa Joe in huge ass fucking letters.
Yeah.
Without Joe even coming out. You hear the crowd pop. They turn to the entranceway. There's no one there for a few seconds. Then Joe slowly walks out, and it was just like, holy shit.
But at the same time, because they screwed up, it was a little anticlimactic. Oh, Joe's here. All right. Well, where is he? I mean,
well, like, that was the thing. Like, it was a good thing for me because, once again, talking with Bowman during this, I'm watching it. I was about 30 seconds ahead of him, and I've got the headset on, so of course I didn't hear the music nor see the graphic until I went back and watched the replay.
Yep.
And I've just gone, oh shit, and I'm here, dude. What's going on? What's going on? Give it 30 seconds.
Yeah, you fucked up.
Fucked up, man.
So, how long are we going to expect Joe to be in NXT before he hits the main roster now? That's the big question for Joe fans who want to see him in WWE.
Give him plenty of time. Take your time with him. Give him, a year, maybe a year, like, and a half.
Let him basically own NXT?
Well, you got to remember, he's also got to acclimatize himself to the way that they work.
This
as
is
opposed
true,
to
but
TNA.
Yeah, and at the same time, he still has independent dates they're going to let him honor, too. So, I don't know
that's the weird thing. He was at the tapings this week.
Yeah.
So, who knows? But basically, yeah, Joe coming out and getting straight in the face of Kevin Owens, it was just like, that's cool. You've just sold me on whatever the fuck you want to sell me next week.
Yeah, whatever's happening next time, I'm there. Yeah, you know, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, shit, you know, Shades of ROH.
Well,
back
that,
in the day.
That, you think about, like, before Unstoppable, I went back and I watched some of Steen's matches in ROH.
Yeah.
And him and Joe followed the same thing. They basically were, like, Joe and TNA, Steen in Ring of Honor. Both of them just stopped caring about their physique and just got fat. They come to NXT, and both guys have slimmed down significantly.
Yeah.
Like you can see it on Joe. He's dropped, like, almost half his fucking body weight that he gained in TNA.
Yeah, it almost looks like it, definitely.
Well, when you're living off a TNA budget, you kind of have to do that.
Yeah, probably a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables that you pick up off the trees in Orlando, because, yeah, it helps the budget.
Well, I was thinking, like, you can only survive for so long on cup ramen, but sure.
Yeah, this is true. You know, the one thing I can't wait to see, though, on the main roster, like on Raw, I'm just trying to think of who would be a really, really suitable opponent for Joe. I can see him fighting Sheamus.
NXT roster.
The entire roster, yeah. No, I can see him fighting Sheamus. I just get the idea that Creative will match those two up.
Actually, Frosty's got a good idea. Give him Ryback.
Oh, could you imagine Ryback taking the muscle buster?
I could, actually, and it would be fucking awesome.
That's a lot of muscle to bust.
I am not going to give Aaron Frost, that cowboy boy Aaron Frost, any credit at all. But I'm thinking, feed him guys like Ryback and Big E and you know, guys like that.
Hey, Rusev's taking losses now. Let's throw him at Joe.
Well, yeah, you see there, I see that as a main feud.
For some reason, like, this little segment just popped in my head. It's like Bray Wyatt doing his usual spiel about being the new face of fear. All of a sudden, out of the shadow, Samoa Joe just comes up and goes, "Hi, Bray." And Bray just fucking disappears in a cloud of smoke.
That'd be another good feud. The face of fear, against, fuck, man. I'm just looking forward. I'm glad that Joe has finally decided to sign with WWE before he gets too old to give us more than one match at WrestleMania where he drops to Triple H and then goes into the Hall of Fame.
You know that one's coming as well.
Oh, yeah. It'll happen. Probably. So. Yeah. All right. Well, you know, speaking about TNA stars. Apparently, Dixie Carter and TNA are planning to sue certain internet sites over a report that their TV deal isn't going to be renewed. You guys hear about this?
Yeah, that Dave guy
Dave Meltzer is the alleged author. Now, here's the thing about it. He tried to get clarification. He tried to get in touch with Dexy. He wanted to get her response to this. Nothing. She would not get back to him or answer him or anything. So he posted it as a rumor. Now they're all, well, we're going to sue you for posting a rumor. I mean, what the hell?
I'm not even sure if that's possible. Well, I was just going to say that, but you know what? No, it's America. You can sue anyone for anything.
Yeah, well, there you go. Like, Meltzer played the media thing perfectly. Like, when I say media, like the journalist thing perfectly. He reported it as sources are reporting. He's not saying that this is what's happening.
Yeah, he's not the one. He's not the source of it. He just said, well, this is what I have heard.
This is exactly right, and he's using the proper terms. Alleged. Right? So. I don't understand Dixie Carter's thinking. I mean, if you're not going to respond to something that a journalist is coming to, even if it is Meltzer, he's still coming to you for clarification on something he heard, and he wants to know if it's true, if he can report it as facts, or if it's not true and he won't report it, and you ignore him, and then basically he's in a corner. He's got no choice, so to speak, you know, technically speaking. And then you come back and basically basically shoot yourself in the foot, don't you think?
And at this point, I'm half convinced she has to do the lawsuit because it's the only way to pay the talent this month.
Quite possibly, yeah. TNA has been somewhat remiss in making sure that everybody's getting their paychecks. I mean,
This is the thing with the whole rumor thing. If she's going out of her way to try and file a lawsuit, maybe Meltzer was hitting too close to the truth.
This is what I'm thinking. He might be really, really close to it. You know what the sources at the network are saying, for the record. We should clarify this, I think.
Uh-huh.
The term being used at the network, allegedly, I don't want Dixie to come and sue me, so allegedly, this is what we are hearing, the term being used is not renewing. Now, that's kind of a big deal if this goes down. Jeff Jarrett's Global Force Wrestling is actually on the brink of potentially making some waves coming out of Las Vegas, and they've got they've actually got a bit of a battle plan that I don't have that much of a problem with. Maybe TNA's day is done. What do you guys think?
They were really desperate when they went after this TV deal as it is, and even then it was said to be a last-ditch thing. Like, it's far, far from ideal. It's not nearly what they got from Spike, but hey, it's enough to keep us going type thing.
Yeah. And it's half the audience that they had with Spike because it's only available in half the households in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, where are you going to watch it if you're a Canadian? You know what I mean?
Destination Canada?
Yeah. Is there such a thing?
You tell me, Canadian.
I'm a Canadian, and I don't recall ever seeing anything called Destination Canada, mother order. Nobody wants to come here. Anyway.
Well, you can tell that a lot of people are starting to give up on TNA in general because even torrent sites seem to have issue getting Impact Wrestling torrents out. So when the pirates stop giving a shit...
then you know you're in trouble if the pirates
look,
don't
my
care.
My DVR can't find this shit.
Oh, shit. It's a terrible thing to laugh, but...
I feel bad for the talent because we've got so much good talent there, but nobody runs that business well. Everyone in management is terrible at what they do.
Yeah. Well, say, here's the thing. Right before he got forced out, Jarrett, you know, sure, it was a Jeff Jarrett show, but it was still watchable and entertaining, right? Now, Jeff has started up Global Force Wrestling. If TNA does buckle, by the way, just... so you all know, and yes, I know Texter. Thanks for telling me. I was going to mention that in a bit, but I'll mention it now. In Canada, you can watch TNA on the Fight Network. It's a premium channel. But if TNA does go under, isn't that a potential gold mine for Jeff?
Well, yeah. I'm sure that, there's probably still talent there that, you know, remember some that might remember the good old days, or, well, this place used to be the next big thing, and, oh, not so much anymore.
You're like, we spent time reminiscing and waxing nostalgic over ECW during the heyday. ECW, before it became ECWWE, you know, when it was good ECW. That's different. They had a little bit of staying power and longevity behind them. TNA has been around for, you know, what is it now, 12 years? 13 years?
I think they're doing 13 years.
It's kind of hard to be nostalgic over TNA. Because they really, I'm sorry, a decade and 3 years is no time at all.
And it's bad because, well, even in like ECW, there, you know, it was a short run promotion compared to like the big leagues, air quote, yep. Big leagues. But there was such passion for what they were doing. There was such commitment to entertaining the audience, and there was such, you know, it was a well booked show at the start. I mean, you know, just to begin with, you know, you have, like, to this day, you will hear those, you know, ECW chants. Because people still remember it, you know, for as short time as we had it. People remember it. People remember the stars, and people remember what it brought to the wrestling industry. Where was the TNA chants when Joe came out?
I didn't hear a single one.
No, because there's no passion for the product. I mean, you might put on a good wrestling show, you might have good wrestling talent, but it has nothing to do with the show itself. Because the show, and especially after Dixie took over, was just about trying to be WWE when there was no way they could be.
Yeah. Well, that the whole thing just became more and more and more of a gong show, like from the very minute Panda Energy got involved. Meaning Dixie and her dad.
Well, it's not so much that. It's that everybody who came in to run it keeps trying to run TNA as a wrestling company instead of trying to run it as a business.
Mm-hmm.
Like this again was something I was discussing with Bowman the other day. WWE runs everything like a business, and that's why they're successful. They don't run it as a wrestling company, they run it as a business.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of places can't seem to do. They can't seem to turn around and go, okay, we are a business. Let's treat this like a business. They go, no, we're a wrestling company. We want to keep it as wrestling. And that's what TNA did. They tried to be a wrestling business, but they just forgot the business part of it.
No, they were doing wrestling company as opposed to, like, wrestling business will work. Run it as a business, that works perfectly. But like you're saying, you know, we're just doing a wrestling show. Well, then you might as well be an indie. You know,
you might as well be Ring of Honor.
Yeah, a local indie or Ring of Honor. Yeah. Are we going to miss TNA if and when it finally does fold? I mean, I'm inclined to believe the sources that are reporting that basically their TV deal is done.
Well, we'll find out exactly what's going on in September. But to be honest, no, I'm not going to miss TNA.
I have not watched the show in years. I haven't even followed the news for the show outside of when something major happens. I really don't care. Most of the talent I was attached to in that company moved on a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, there's no AJ Styles. He's off breaking necks somewhere in Japan. You know, there's no Motor City Machine Guns anymore.
Well, I will tell you this much, as dreadful as I find it and as hard as I find it to watch, TNA is still more viewable than that indie wrestling show out of Edmonton.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just a shot specifically for certain people who are tuned in tonight that I knew would get a kick out of me saying it, so I said anyway.
this is great promotion. TNA, it's not CZW.
RCW. Oh, I didn't say that out loud, did I? Oops. I'm going to hear about this for next week. So, yeah, I'm done talking about TNA. I'm damn curious about what's going to happen with Global Force Wrestling. And that'll be coming around soon, and we'll talk about that down the line. But everybody, at this point in time, time to take our first break of the evening. You're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, WTR Pick'em coming up later on this evening. Stay tuned.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
It's boots to asses time.
From the big returns.
You gotta be kidding me! I see a Jason Robert! What on earth? I've got chills out of here!
To the shocking moments.
In case you haven't figured it out yet, what I do better than anybody is a jab. Last night was plan A. Tonight, plan B. There's always a plan B.
Oh my God! Are you kidding me? Rollins down hit the fucking Ambrose after he took out Reigns!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
He's got the whole
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Saturday night, you never know what to expect when cigarette butts and bandanas hit the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Ha ha! Is that Shell Station open? Ha ha ha! Daddy might have himself some cig. I just gotta cross a fucking freeway that would kill me. Eight fucking lanes. Eight motherfucking lanes. Dude, the Godfather scream for time. He just fucking loses the match and keeps on ticking.
Fucking eight lanes, the motherfucking highway!
Alright, if this place is closed, I'm gonna kill somebody. Yeah, this place looks like I might get robbed by a guy of slightly darker complexion than I am.
Do you have to run back across the highway?
Yeah, I know. I gotta run across fucking three lanes of highway now. God damn it. The bad thing is, I probably don't have $7 in my fucking name, so I'm gonna have to use my damn credit card or my debit card as a fucking way to pay for $7.
Fuck, you fucking better be open.
I fucking walked across 13 lanes of highway.
They're not open.
What the fuck? Are you sure you're not open?
Can I get a pack of Camel Light?
Hell yeah. Oh my God. All right. Safe now. People aren't dying yet.
You ready, Rob? Now you gotta run again.
I do, because actually the fucking light's green. No one's coming. No one's turning. And I gotta go. That's some biz. I should have just crossed the other street, because now I gotta cross another street.
Steve,
somebody give me a goddamn... Ah, fucking Sunday. You can't buy beer. Wait a minute. What time is it?
It's 12:30.
I'm a goo. Ah, forget about it. Get it? All right, I'll just smoke my cigarettes and be fucking happy. Oh, no, that's fucking just perfect. Green light just came on this fucking... about to get wild by fucking three 18-wheelers and a fucking Jeep Wrangler. Fuck me, man. I gotta light a cigarette for this run.
Whether you are a badass, a godfather, or anything in between, the answer is cigarette butts and bandanas live midnight, or as close as we can get, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
So now you get to enjoy that nicotine, huh?
Yeah.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want.
1st. Listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Thursday nights, The Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin, as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now, when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MBG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
You think you know me?
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge. You're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Just a reminder, everybody, we're going to open up the phone lines later tonight. That's right, you can call in and give Mace a hard time, because I just won't put up with it. we'll let you know when we're going to call, when you can call in, but if you want to call from a landline or your cell phone, take down this phone number, 267-297-1397. If you want to talk to us on your Skype machine, then all you have to do is add Sir Rockin, or just Skype Sir Rockin. You don't have to add him. He'll accept it. There you go. Yeah. So, guys, come back from the commercial break. I think Scott Hall might be falling off the wagon again.
Well, you know, with any addict, then every now and again they do fall off the wagon. You know, Jake the Snake Roberts did a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not really make a big deal of it. You know, Scott Hall fucked up once. He's been doing extremely well for himself the last couple of years.
Yeah.
Oh, well. You stumbled once. We're not going to hold it against you.
Yeah, that the part about addiction that a lot of people don't get is that you never recover from it. You just deal with it.
This is absolutely true. And just so you know, a certain individual that I know very, very well is actually working on quitting smoking. And he's done pretty damn good the last couple of days. He's cut back like by over half a pack of like what he half a pack less. He's smoking half a pack less a day than he used to. And he's planning on actually trying to like give it up completely tomorrow. I'm not going to say who this individual is, but you all know him. Thank you. Thank you. Just wanted to say that. But in addition for showing up at a indie wrestling event he was booked at, drunk and demanding to be paid, he's also pulled out of Global Force Wrestling, and the report is that he doesn't want to upset the WWE.
Well, yeah, the WWE are the guys that you don't want to be pissing off.
Yeah, this is true.
Especially when they do have the ability to pay for his rehab if he needs it. Or if he wishes to go that route once again.
Yep.
You pay for his rent at DDP's place.
That too.
Pretty much.
And the fact that they helped him with the Hall of Fame induction and everything, it's a good idea. It's a good business move.
So, yeah. I'm like, if he did fall off the wagon, hopefully this was just a little blip and he gets sorted back out post-haste and people don't give up on him.
Oh, I'm sure DDP called him as soon as the news hit and said, what the fuck did you do, dumbass?
I was thinking, what the hell were you thinking? But yeah, okay, yours works better. So, yeah. Anyway.
But the thing that makes it interesting is, like, Scott shows up to a wrestling show and he's demanding to be paid.
Yeah.
Did he end up being paid in the end, or is this just another dodgy promoter trying to create a story to get out of paying a high-end talent?
That's a very good question, but from everything that I was able to source when I was reading about this, was they didn't want the promotion to wind up in the same situation that other promotion wound up in a couple years back. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was worse publicity for the promoter who let him appear, and he had to be escorted to the ring and everything. And it was obvious that a couple years ago when this happened, he was off the wagon big time, despite all of these reports saying he was suffering from some kind of condition and being sick and stuff like that. But I'm thinking that, you know, this promoter for this wrestling show said, no, we can't do that. It's not professional. And he's right. I mean, if I had, you know, I'm running a wrestling show and I book somebody who's notorious for falling off the wagon, and he's absolutely blitzed by the time it comes around to him showing, I'm not putting him on and I'm not paying him. Am I wrong for stating that?
No, no. But at the same time, you know, I'm still wondering because, you know, I looked around trying to get more out of this story, and the only thing that I could keep hearing was the promoter said, the promoter said, the promoter said, the promoter said.
Yeah.
The issue that I have with this is usually in these type of situations, you usually have a couple of fan reports or a couple of workers who step up and say, you know, here's the story, like another couple of sources. At this point, we have a promoter. And I'm sorry, but there are a lot of dodgy promoters out there that try to book high-end talent and skip them. You know, stiff them on the pay. And then put out some story that they're an arsehole. Mm-hmm. Or that they've done something wrong. Plus, you know, if Scott Hall's intoxicated at a show, I'm sure there would have been fucking footage of it somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know if there was any footage of this. I don't know, you know, like that much I have not seen, so. But there has not been any comment from Scott Hall. And that's one of two things. Either, you know, like if it didn't happen, why has he not said anything about it, right? Maybe it's just
because given history, if people turn around and asked him, and yeah, he said, I was never drunk at the event, a lot of people turn around and go, yeah, you're bullshitting.
Well, you know, a lot of people may say that, but you're not going to stop people from saying whatever they feel like saying, especially nowadays. It's just, you know, it's, they're going to say it no matter what. The other thing about it, though, is maybe it's true and he doesn't want to bring his any more attention to it than what it got in the media, you know, following, like, the immediate fallout. Don't try to get out. Maybe he was told, keep your mouth shut. Don't talk about it. You fucked up. Let's get you fixed up. Just thinking.
Yeah, there's about 4,000 ways you can take it. Sure.
Absolutely. I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say, when you really only have one source and nobody's clarifying or speaking out in any direction right now, it's almost impossible. Like, you could just speculate anything you want at this point.
Yeah.
You know, fact is, nobody knows. You know, the only person who really knows is the promoter and Scott Hall.
And, you know, the way I think about it, people are going to speculate, let the speculation run its course and don't worry about it, move on. And, if you did screw up, well, sober up. I mean, people care about you, Scott. Come on. I mean, if nobody cared, would have all of this time and effort have been taken to get him to the point where he was at, you know, by WrestleMania weekend last. Right? So.
Yeah, and like we said, it's a stumble. You know, anybody who's had to deal with addiction or deal with somebody who has been an addict to something knows that there is no quote-unquote cure. You know, there is going to be a time when they are going to slip. It's what happens afterwards that means more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so. But anyway, yeah, moving on. Yesterday marked 16 years, guys.
Context, motherfucker, do you have it?
16 years ago, May 23rd, 1999. Over the Edge.
Uh-huh.
16 years. Yeah.
Yeah, just you know, marking the anniversary. A better day to remember, middle of the week, Owen Hart would have been 50 years old, and... all I can say is we miss him. So, just like no discussion or anything was planned out for that. It was just, you know, marking the anniversary.
Yes.
But I think Sonny's sinking lower.
I don't know. This could probably be a step up considering.
Yeah, well, yeah, to be honest.
It's probably more money than doing sex shows over Skype. Of course, we're talking about the original diva, the anti-Miss Elizabeth, Sonny. According to her, she's been in talks with Vivid Video to do porn. Now, Vivid Video has said that the deal is done, but Sonny is saying, well, no, not yet. They're still talking about it. So, I don't know. So many things you can say about this.
Well, seriously. Not really. That Sonny's career has sort of downward spiraled, and, you know, again, we're talking about another alcoholic drug addict as well. Let's throw that on top. And the choice in men and then stalking men that she's been with before, and, you know, then the cam shows on Skype and shit. Porn seems like a standard direction for her to go in.
Well, it's not like
not that anybody really wants to see it, but,
well,
you
it's
know.
Not like she hasn't done it before. She was, you know, featured on Missy Hyatt's website for a while. Of course, that was back when she was really coked out big time.
Yeah, but that was because Missy was supplying her with the coke.
Well, yeah. Oh, you know, allegedly. Make sure you don't get.
Oh no, there is no alleged anything when it comes to Missy Hyatt and being a co-call. She's fucking admitted that plenty of times.
Yeah, I just, you know, just in case. So.
Yeah, but that was just that was just a nude site though. Like at this point, she's going to get paid to get fucked.
Yeah, basically, it's prostitution any way you look at it, in my opinion. Now, you're saying it's just a nudes site. Well, there are some people who think that the type of nudity that Missy Hyatt had on that website, which is no longer around, that type of nudity wasn't art, it was porn. What's the difference? Is there a difference?
How wet they are.
You know, is...
How much you pay to view it.
Is it the posing? that makes it porn as opposed to, you know, quote unquote.
No. Art, a tasteful nude art is displayed in a gallery.
Uh huh.
Porn is what you pay on a computer to view.
Okay, there you go.
It's the difference between like a high end photograph and a model showing just enough to get the idea across to just whipping out your iPhone, taking photos of a girl going, here it is.
Yeah. So if a girl Snapchats her boobs and posts them, is that nudity or is that like art or is that porn?
It's not art.
It's not porn. He's like, oh, boobs. Nice. Thanks. Moving on. Right?
Do we have any other news stories to move on to?
No, actually, we've got the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view pick'em coming up, but
this would be the point where people should be calling in.
The producer wants to take a quick time out because I think he has to pee or something like that, so we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and do the Elimination Chamber pick'em, and we're going to take your phone calls as well. Once again, everybody, on the other side of this quick little timeout, write down this number, 267-297-1397, or Skype Sir Rocket. Those are your choices. If you're outside of North America, well, definitely get in touch with us on Skype. That being said, we'll be back right after this.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow wow wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axel Mania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Top of
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
Welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Are you ready to call in? I'm expecting to hear from guys like, I don't know, Bowman, maybe. You think Bowman's going to call in?
I have no idea, but, you know, as usual, I get people asking me before the show, are you going to take calls tonight? And then we open up the phone lines, and it's silent.
And nobody calls. Well, yeah, once again, 267-297-1397. That's the actual telephone number. Or you can just, get on Skype and Skype sit rocking like Bowman just did. Hey, Bowman.
Hey, guys. What's up?
What's up, man? What's happening? You know what I'm saying?
Doing a little too much. Stop. What's going on, family? What's going on, everybody?
It's been a while.
Yes, it has. I've grown up, felt the touch of a woman, you know. Yeah, I've experienced life.
Whoa, you felt the touch of a woman? What, was that your first time?
Oh,
good
no, that
for
was,
you.
Man, that was a long time ago, dude. So how long that you, know?
We can't call you Virgin Clinton Bowman anymore.
Oh, hell no. God damn, y'all used to call me that? Like, really? Yo, I don't care. So whatever.
That's right, what, homie?
I was like 21 when we last interacted anyway, so it was like, you know, that's like forever.
So how much did Sonny charge you?
How much did Sonny charge me? Dude, I did a Grand Theft Auto. I paid her the money, ran over with the car and got my money back. Come on, son. Like, yo, you don't know how Grand Theft Auto works?
I've been playing it long enough, yeah.
Yeah, man. See, all this dead air, son, it's not happening. It's not happening. I'm gonna help you out with that. Now, Maze, I already talked to you, man. We talked about this, about people's opinions and the way it works. Sorry, it's all about what have you done for me lately. And if you haven't done shit, no one cares. Trust me, I know. I work in the education system. That's all they talk about. What have you done for me lately?
I know, but when you can turn around and point to, this is what's been done lately, and they go, I don't give a shit, then it's like, well, you're fucking lost cause.
To be fair, you're not wrong, and I agree with you on that one, but to be fair also, let's be honest, is everyone really willing to pay $9.99 a month for, I want to say, a pay-per-view and maybe 4 weeks of, in 4 weeks of wrestling in a school in the middle of nowhere in a suburb in Orlando? I mean, not everybody's willing
you
to do that.
You spend $10 at McDonald's, motherfucker?
Oh, I don't spend, dude, I don't buy McDonald's food. I make my own food, please. That's why I can afford the network. But, no, I mean, I understand that. You see, this is what I understand. Now, don't get me wrong. Now, me and you were talking about this. Unstoppable was a really great show. Like, no questions asked. I know everybody here already agreed, but I want to hear a confirmation. Everybody knows this show was a great show. Don't get me wrong. There was some parts that dragged in the show. I'll be honest, the Divas tag was not that great, in my opinion. And neither was Corbin and Rhino. I mean, I'll quote one person from Iowa that I think we might know, Mace might know who I'm talking about, says Corbin has a lot to work on in terms of his tasting and stuff.
If you went in with low expectations for Corbin and Rhino, like I did, it was a good match.
No, of course, but you gotta understand, here's the thing.
Why should we be dropping fucking expectations for something?
Because
you sound like the producer of the Gem and the Holograms movie, for fuck's sake.
Because it's a developmental brand. You gotta sometimes drop expectations for certain people, like Corbin.
Yeah, but you see, here's the fun part though, like, my expectations when it comes to NXT has always been low. Because it's basically erasing all your bad habits that you got on the indies, and I'm not trying to knock indie wrestling, but sometimes a lot of these guys that came in, even CM Punk had some really terrible habits that he never got rid of. Like, case in point, his triple threat in the cage with John Cena and Alberto Del Rio in 2011, where Alberto Del Rio and John Cena is actually telling a story, but then CM Punk's like, fuck this, I'll do this, I'll do that, fuck it.
I'm pretty sure fuck it is his opinion on pretty much anything he does.
You're not wrong, like, fuck it, I'll do a shitty Macho Man elbow, which I think Damian Sandow might be able to do better, but that's just me.
We haven't seen that because they won't let him actually do it.
Oh no, they won't let him do it. They keep teasing it. They just keep teasing it. And when it happens, the pop is going to be there and everybody's going to love it. Like, but I'll be honest. I mean, expectations are low. Like, yo, Kevin Owens, don't get it twisted. He's damn good in a WWE setting now. Same thing with Sami Zayn, except he's kind of like Daniel Bryan where you got to tone it down a little bit before you get an injury that I'm sorry, you can't recover from.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you can't keep up that high-flying, you know, jump over the ropes and through the ropes, between the ropes and all that other shit style constantly without fucking yourself up sooner or later.
This is exactly.
So with Brian, it's not been a long career for him in the main roster.
And keep in mind, Rey Mysterio managed to stay on that roster for, I want to say, nearly 10 years. Because he kept changing his style to account for all the injuries that he got.
Over 10. I think he was on the roster since 2002?
Two thousand two. Remember, I stopped at 2012 simply because after that, that was around the time where he started appearing on the roster less and less.
This is true, but I was watching the Elimination Chamber for 2014. Did you know Christian was in that match?
Yes.
Have we seen him since?
He retired.
He's gone. I think that was his last.
The announcers retired him.
The announcers retired
him. The announcers announced his retirement. Like, legit. It was crazy.
Yeah, some people get whole episodes of Raw devoted to them. Some get big parties at the end of the episode with the whole roster coming out to applaud. And some people get it posted in, like, the byline of the announcer's notes.
Yeah, pretty much. That's going to be Christian and mayhaps Daniel Bryan. We never know. You know, or some people who decide to retire from professional wrestling by walking out and quitting and basically voiding their own contract, get completely, you know, written out the history books.
Oh, that was that Chris fella, wasn't it?
No, I'm not talking about that guy. I'm talking about that Phil fella.
Oh.
Even though technically people still kind of talk about him because he was a part of like major history with John Cena, you can't really erase that. You know, or Daniel Bryan.
As long as we don't erase his wife, that's all I care about.
Man, fuck his wife.
I would, but
fuck her. I mean, she left. She threw the whole Divas division in a whole mess. Think about it. People were saying, wait, when did Naomi turn heel? Wait, when did the Bellas turn face?
Well,
I'm like...
let's be fair to here. They put the entire Divas division on one person. Like, they could have built that entire roster.
And what's funny, they were working on that, which was the funniest shit on the planet. Like, they were working on that. That's the sad part. And then AJ's like, fuck it, I'm retiring. And then everything just, like, fell out. Bottom just fell out.
I'm not so sure about that. Like Naomi as a heel turn kind of works for me, aside from the light-up shoes just being distracting.
Sorry, I love the light-up shoes. Yo, LA Lights, yo, my childhood.
I like them. I had those in school. Like,
yeah. But the main thing, Omega, I'll counter with this.
All right.
They were working on it. You know, the Bella Twins were like literally that heel force right there. They were like the Seth Rollins of that division at that point.
Yeah.
You had Paige, Naomi, and AJ who were your, dare I say it, AJ's your Dean Ambrose. Naomi's your Roman Reigns, and can I say Paige can be a Ryback? In terms of like hierarchy, or in terms of like the way it was schemed together.
That's the oddest comparisons I've ever heard.
It is, but it's the closest ones that I can make. And, you know, I'm not gonna say AJ's John Cena because, I mean, let's be honest, that's Nikki Bella in more ways than one. But, But, you know, like looking at that kind of thing, AJ Lee throws Bottom out. So, and then Paige is injured not too long after that.
Convenient movie timing.
Convenient movie time. Exactly. Convenient movie timing. As we like to call it. So,
yeah.
You look at it, it throws everything in the whack. So, I mean, Emma was a bust. Mace is happy about that shit.
Damn right.
Summer Rae and Cameron and Layla and the rest of these bitches, excuse my language, are irrelevant at this point. Who are your most relevant divas? Paige, Natalya, who's in a feud with the New Day, and the Bella Twins, and Tamina, who just magically came back from injury. And it's like, hey, we're family because I married your cousin. So, you know.
It feels like they're trying to put it back together, though. I mean, when you talk about the Bellas, they went from those two having, separate themes, separate storylines. One was face, one was heel.
They still have separate themes, though.
No. Hear me out.
Okay.
Because when AJ was still around, the only other diva feud going on was between the Bellas. Well, it was Brie Bella versus Stephanie, and then Nikki turns heel. And then there was Brie and Nikki. And the whole thing was, if you lose, you basically have to be my bitch for a month. And before the month was out, and the agreement was, you no longer get your own theme anymore.
Yeah, but she came out on SmackDown before
she got her theme back.
Yeah.
She got her theme back, but that's kind of the point, because before the month was out, both Bellas were heel again, and they just kind of forgot the entire storyline they were building up.
Because I think we all wanted to forget that shit.
Honestly, I kind of didn't. Like, it's so typical to have them both face or both heel at the same time. Like,
yeah, but Nikki cutting heel promos and then, like, Brie not being the best. I mean, let's be honest. And you know what? That got kind of grating really quickly.
If you actually compared it with what actually happened on Total Divas, the whole Brie versus Nikki feud actually made sense, but they aired that 3 months later. Anyway.
That's the sad part, sir. You're right.
It kind of worked with Total Divas, but they aired it too late. Anyway, you got what you're saying.
Yeah, so, I mean, at the end of it all, I mean, they started to build the Divas division, now they're building it back because of the Bottom falling out. Here's the question, though. You're looking at Charlotte, you're looking at Sasha Banks, you're looking at Becky Lynch, you're looking at all these girls in NXT, and then they just got Jessie McKay. They just signed her and along with UHA Nation and a whole bunch of other people. The thing is, with the NXT Divas, can they bring them back? Can they bring some people up without really sacrificing what they have? Cause I'll be honest, WWE doesn't really have that much Divas in NXT.
It's going to be a slow building process, but I'm looking forward to when the NXT's current crop of divas start moving to the main roster and we can, and freeing up space for another crop of rookies to come in. Cause we do have good divas in the main roster. I mean, you've got Natalya, you've got
Paige. New Day.
No. Get it right. She's in a feud with the Bull. Get it right.
The Bull is done. You haven't seen the Bull anymore.
The Bull might be a Lucha Dragon soon, according to rumor.
Go watch SmackDown. They're feuding. Go watch it. They're feuding on SmackDown.
Oh yeah, this is true. Nobody watches SmackDown! Anyway, I barely watch SmackDown.
Amen, motherfucker, amen!
You realize SmackDown, the only main reason I stopped watching SmackDown is mostly because A, the shitty themes that they've been picking. I mean, come on, son. Themes don't make me all that hype anymore. And then on top of that, I've seen this on Raw before. Why am I watching this all over again? You got that, like I said, she's feuding with the New Day. Then you have, let's see, what else do you have? I mean, you have the Primetime Players, who might be the funniest thing ever. You know, speaking of tag teams. Because everybody loves the Primetime Players. Wouldn't everybody agree?
No.
Oh.
Brock's not even gonna humor that one.
No, I'm not gonna do that one, no.
Why not?
I don't mind the primetime players.
They're great. You know, how many black people have you seen, you know, actually accepted by the WWE Universe that's not The Rock? Or Booker T? Or Mark Henry?
You keep listening, people, so.
No, yeah. I stopped because, I mean, obviously I didn't list Shelton Benjamin.
Hey, yeah, hey.
They like Shelton Benjamin for a while.
And then Mama.
They screw something up.
Yeah. They got into Ahmed Johnson back in the day. They're way behind him back in the day.
Yo, Ahmed Johnson. Oh, yeah, that's right. The guy that injured everybody.
He wore knee pads on top of knee pads, so his thighs were protected.
Yeah, Farouk, who gets over with one word.
Damn!
Thanks, Tim.
You're welcome. Glad to help.
Damn. This is true. I'm just saying. I'm sorry. I mean, I love my people. We don't get a fair shake on the main roster sometimes. Especially with the initial thing with the New Day, which was so stereotypically Southern Black America.
I really didn't like that. I didn't like that. They went from the Malcolm X stereotype down to the, you know, the Southern Church stereotype. Like, it's just apples and oranges.
It is apples and oranges, but, you know, you look at the timing, and it's like, ooh, Baltimore. Ooh, cops killing black people. Ooh, not good. Malcolm X idea.
No.
No. Like, yo, as much shit we give the WWE, they recognize the situations that they're in before they get into them.
Yeah, let's not do the Nation of Domination again.
Yeah, I was, you know, like, call me Canadian, but I was disappointed that they didn't go to the militant route after they teased it.
Yeah, and then you watch American news and then you realize, that's why they didn't do it.
And I'm like, I don't give a fuck, I'm not in America.
Yeah, for most of WWE's audience is, and unfortunately, most of the mainstream media that would literally jump on the fact to shit on them are, like, I'm sorry, I don't want to hear Fox News talking about this shit. Like, come on.
Well, hey, Fox News might come up with something that's actually entertaining when it concerns this shit. Because let's face it, they rate their own material to begin with.
This is
much entertaining, a lot of people watch it.
I mean, Fox News has got to be the most, like I watch it once in a while when I want to laugh and feel good about my life.
Dude, is that Fox News or Fuck News?
Both.
Here you go, fuck Fox News.
I mean.
The best news writers could make.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I was like, Obama's a socialist. No, he's not.
No, he's not. He's Hawaiian.
I'm like, no, he's not. If he was a socialist, we'd be in a lot worse of the situation we are in now.
You see, Bowman, you laugh at my joke because you get it. These guys don't think it's funny.
I mean, I'm the most fucked up. I'm one of the most fucked up individuals Mace knows. I say the dumbest shit for no reason. I'm a race ripper. I crack jokes on racist. I make racist jokes about everybody, including black people.
Yeah, the only problem is it takes you forever to get it out.
You're not wrong.
Hey, it could be worse. It could be Crowley.
No, we don't have enough time for Crowley.
Oh, man.
We don't have a week-long program.
Yo, I'm sorry. I was going back through my time hop a while ago, and I looked at the podcast that I used to do with Crowley, and I thought to myself, yo, what the fuck was I thinking going into that shit? And the downward spiral began for about a year, and it was like, okay. Like, literally, I got chewed out by Jeff Jackson. Like, on a podcast, on a random day, and I'm just looking at it like, bitch, I'm gonna wrestle with you, I don't give a fuck. And then I get fired from Wrestle View 6 months later after, you know, being ghetto, being overly ghetto. So, I had to learn really quickly, I can't be a hood black person around white people. It can't happen.
And yet, every Monday night, the same thread, you do the same shit.
Okay, I didn't say the N-word all Monday night. Give me credit.
The first time in months.
Exactly. Come on. Give me some credit. I'm actually stopping that, because at the end of the day, listen, I don't want a random kid to go up on my Facebook, as private as it is, and they hack this shit, and all of this shit they see, they show their parents, and then I lose my job. Sorry, can't happen. I'm in the education system. I can't afford to lose my job because the minute I do that, I can't work anywhere else. And I ain't working.
When was the last time I said the N-word?
Man, you gotta think about that.
Nutella.
Nutella's a great snack. <thing. laughs> So yeah.
I love talking with you, Pullman.
Say what?
I love talking with you.
I know, I never really listen on Sunday nights mostly because...
You're gay? Are you,
fuck you.
Just kidding.
I have work the next day. I gotta be up for 8 o'clock in the morning, so sometimes I'm just like, fucking, I'm going to bed. But, you know, Memorial Day in America, which, you know, for some people means celebrating the military. For me, hot dogs, beer, and The Witcher 3.
There you go. And sleeping in.
Yeah, that too.
No. When you have The Witcher 3, you don't sleep.
No, you really don't. I'm sorry. I mean, I have WWE 2K15 on PC. It helps me go to sleep sometimes. The Witcher 3, I can't sleep. I'm sitting on there like, God damn it, I can't, fuck. And then my mom sometimes yelling, go to sleep, son of a bitch. I'm like, all right, man, I'm trying to sleep, but I can't. Witcher 3, I will not finish this game before the end of the summer at all. It's not happening. And I love the hell out of the game. Like, everybody rated the shit either a 9.5 out of 10 or a 10. Like, that's how great this game is.
Yeah, I'll get around to it eventually. For the moment,
as long as you're with us, are you going to play Pick'em with us while we got you on the line still?
Yeah, man, I'll play Pick'em. I like playing Pick'em. I like to win things.
There you go. Whereabouts are you living nowadays?
I still live in Brooklyn.
Still in Brooklyn? God damn, you ain't moving out of there.
No, the reason I'm not moving out of there is simply because, I'm sorry, the New York City public school system pays too damn well.
Okay, well, plus you're getting the Islanders next year, so, you know, it's win-win.
I don't give a shit about hockey.
I know. The only ice you know is the shit in your drink.
Well, to be fair, I used to watch hockey, and I used to be a Devils fan, so.
Oh, you dummy. No,
I used to be a Devils fan. I never was really a fan of the Islanders. I mean, the Rangers or the Islanders. But, like, I was a big Devils fan. But now I'm more into football, basketball, and obviously men in stretchy pants.
Oh, speaking about football, did you hear Michael Sam is coming to play football in Canada?
And he's going to be just as irrelevant?
He's playing for the Montreal Alouettes, so that's a big hell yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, it's not that he was that great of a defensive lineman to begin, a defensive end to begin with, so.
If he was straight, would he have made as much noise?
If he was straight, he probably would have still, if he was straight, or if he had not come out as gay, he probably would have had somewhat of a decent career. I mean, my mom said it best. Like, we had this conversation about this. When he was on Dancing with the Stars, he said it, my mom said it best. Yo, you ain't make no money. What the fuck you doing right now? Like, you make no money, made no cash. You just ruined any chances of actually making somewhat of money. And the fact that he dropped all the way down to the sixth round that draft was bad.
Well, you know, up here in Canada, we don't care who you marry, just so long as you watch hockey.
Fact.
There you go. Yeah, so, Rock, you've got the list of matches for Pick'em?
Yes, I do, because I'm on WWE.com as we speak. So, the first match on the list.
Don't forget, everybody, we're going to effort a prize. So, if you win and you live in North America, you know, like Brooklyn or Alaska, if we find this thing that we're looking for, then if you win Pick'em, you get it.
Exactly. And if you want to enter, you can go to facebook.com/group/wildtalkradio.org. Put your picks in there, or you can email them media@wildtalkradio.com. We will start with the Divas Championship, Nikki Bella versus Paige versus Naomi. How about it?
Who wants to go first?
Well, you're the guest, so you go first.
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. With Brie Bella kind of being taken off of television, with this whole storyline with Daniel Bryan and Stephanie McMahon and all this other nonsense, I want to say Naomi ends up being the Divas Champion if on Monday we don't hear the stipulation Tamina is banned from ringside.
All right. So the rules for Pick'em is just pick who you think's going to win. No need to analyze the match.
But if you would like to, it's all good because it fills content, Tim. Anyway, he had a valid point. So, anyway, Tim, your opinion.
What's the
Don't
match
give
again?
An opinion, just pick.
What's the match again?
Nikki Bella, Paige, and Naomi.
Yeah, and it's for the Divas title?
That would be correct, Tim.
Paige.
Thanks for paying attention.
Oh, I am. I'm just, you know, doing it the proper way. Paige.
Omega.
Oh, crap. You know, I would actually give it. I'd actually give it to Naomi. Most likely outside shenanigans.
Mace, who you going with?
I'm just looking at the photo now, and oh my god, skin tone differences.
Mm-hmm.
It's like progression.
Yeah.
It's a test of contrast.
Pretty much. It's like you got Paige who's like white as hell, then you got Nikki, and then you got Naomi, and it's like levels of tanning from start to burnt.
It's like when you start a horror video game and it tells you, change your brightness until all three are visible.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah, I'm going to give this one to Naomi as well. Just as a payoff for covering for so long.
We will go with, right now, what's scheduled to be a non-title match. Kevin Owens, John Cena. Mace.
Don't care. Good match is good. I'm going to have to go... Well, it's a non-title, so I'll actually give it to Owens. Mainly because, you know, pop-up powerbomb.
Which is a change because it was originally listed as a title match, and they apparently changed it over the weekend. All right, Bowen, what's your pick?
Man, I want to analyze it so bad because it's three possible outcomes.
Say it.
If it's a title match, I'm going with John Cena. If it's a non-title match, I'm going with Owens. And if it's a title, it could be a no contest and just a whacked out finish with Samoa Joe just coming out of nowhere.
I hate you, Bowman.
What? Why?
You just buggered up my thing. Because I was going to say, watch it be either a no contest or Kevin Owens wins by DQ because Samoa Joe comes out and muscle busts him.
Yeah, well, I mean, I wouldn't even say it's a DQ. I would say more of that one would be a no contest simply because it's going to be like, yo, wait, what the fuck just happened? Like, WWE likes to do that sometimes where, like, the other guy doesn't get attacked, but it's a complete no contest.
Well, I'm officially picking Owens to win.
Yeah, my official is Owens to win.
Omega?
See, I would call Samoa Joe coming out and doing that scenario, except they've already filmed the next few weeks of NXT, and they're still teasing a confrontation. Spoiler alert, by the way. Sorry.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I got the spoilers from my boy Spence, who lives in Florida. Go ahead.
I'm picking Cena by DQ. I say Owens just beats the crap out of him until the match gets stopped.
Yeah, but let's spit a little wax forward. Do you really think that they'll have Owens beating the shit out of John Cena like that?
I don't think they'll have him. I don't think they'll have him pin him 1-2-3. And I don't think they'll have Cena lose to a rookie talent. But I believe they want to get Owens over as so dangerous that he could go into a match and get himself DQ'd because he's too violent.
DQ, so in other words, you're probably going ref stoppage. You know, powerbomb onto the stairs or something that makes the ref go, you know what, we're stopping this match.
Or even so, an elimination chamber, Extreme Rules 2012 scenario, where Cena gets his ass handed to him throughout the whole damn match and just come back with one lucky fucking shot.
Or by DQ, he's in the ropes, he just keeps pounding on him and the ref calls for the bell.
Yeah, that too.
Then you can have Samoa Joe make the save.
Either Samoa Joe or whoever you want to go down to NXT and fuck around with Owens for a little bit for.
So moving.
Yeah, I'd say calling Joe at this stage is probably a bit too early.
Yeah, it's way too early.
Like, the guy's only just debuted on NXT. You don't want to have him suddenly pop up on the main roster.
Yeah, that'll burn. That'll chap so many asses in NXT.
Though he was seen on SmackDown via replay form, and that was the most amount of people who've ever seen him in replay form.
Yeah, that whole blonde-haired, thin Samoa Joe from back in the day. Oh, God. Yeah. Anyway,
the tag team titles are online in an awkward Elimination Chamber match. You got Matadors, Ascension, Lucha Dragons, Primetime Players, New Day, and Cesaro and Kid.
Oh, my God, this is hard.
All right, since it's hard for you, you go first.
Oh, my God, I so want New Day to win this match. I really do. But I'm going to go with Primetime Players on this one.
Mace.
See, I'm the opposite. Like, I really want Primetime Players to win, but my head keeps going. They're going to let the tag champs retain. So I'm going to go New Day.
Mace, quick question. Do you think that they're going to, since it's technically a no disqualification match, do you think that they're going to let all three of them chill out in the pod?
I hope so, because I want to try and see all three of them fit into the one pod. Because Big E alone takes up at least 75% of that motherfucker.
I think they're gonna have oversized pods for this one.
I don't think they are, because that would take a lot of money and they don't want to put any money into it. Omega.
Uh-huh. This is actually kind of hard. Kind of hard. We have so many damn people in the match. I really do kind of want the New Day to win in this match where we put like almost the entirety of the black roster in the cage. Just saying.
That's racist.
It's observational, Tim. I kind of want the New Day to win because I actually kind of am enjoying them as the tag champs, but I get the feeling the next in line for those belts are going to be our reunited Wyatt children. Yeah, hell, I'm still having too much fun with it. New Day.
Tim.
I want to see a Primetime Players take it, but, I don't see New Day not winning. It's too soon for them to lose.
Speaking of more black people in a cage, it's an Intercontinental Championship Elimination Chamber match. R-Truth, Sheamus, Barrett, Ryback, Ziggler, and Rusev.
So, quick question. First things first. So, when New Day wins, we're all going to have, like, a celebratory wine glass of milk, right?
Oh, of course.
No.
No.
It brought back Kurt Angle memories.
Yeah, that was great. Anyways, for this one, you know damn well Bad News Barrett ain't winning shit. Not happening.
Well, he's Barrett.
He ain't winning shit. I would not be surprised if it ends up being Dolph Ziggler simply because of Ziggler versus Rusev. I would not be surprised, and I think I'll go with Ziggler for this one.
Canadian.
Molson Canadian.
Who's your pick?
I kind of sort of had Ziggler penciled in for this one for the last few days. And I'll stick with it.
Omega.
Jeez, how many freaking people are in this match?
Six.
Six. Oh,
Jesus. I don't think they'll give it to Ziggler because he's gonna go into a feud with Rusev. He doesn't need the belt for that.
It would be a great little chip on it, you know?
I get worried when they put the belt on Ziggler because it usually means he's gonna go on a losing streak.
Or a concussion.
Yeah, we put a belt on him and all of a sudden his head hurts a lot. No, I kind of want to give it to Sheamus.
Oh, so you're giving it to the Red Rooster, okay.
Mace.
Yeah, I'm giving it to the Red Rooster, fella.
And in probably the main event for the WWE Championship, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Omega.
By show of hands, who thinks it's going to be Seth Rollins? I raise my hand.
I think pretty much everybody's going to raise their hand on
it's going to, yeah.
Everybody who says Rollins, say aye.
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 Yeah, it's gonna be Rollins with about four other guys from the Authority jumping into the match.
Alright, so Bowman and Mace are going with Rollins as well. Tim, are you going with Ambrose?
What makes you think I'm gonna pick Dean Ambrose?
Because you didn't say aye.
I also didn't see your hand up.
Yeah. Didn't see your hand.
It's radio, not TV. How the fuck would you see my hand, whether it was up or not?
Man, just go with a joke. God damn it.
Seriously, it's Rollins. Don't be silly.
You see what we have to work with here, Bowman?
I want Ambrose to win, but it'll be Rollins.
It's kind of like working with Doug Lackey.
You girly-ish tomboy.
No, no, we actually like Tim every now and again.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so, I mean, that's five matches. Wow. Ooh, damn, I thought it was more.
Well, you got to remember, you've got two actual Elimination Chamber matches, which do tend to drag on. Plus, one of them is a tag team match, which you can almost guarantee is going to be at least 45, 50 minutes.
Oh, that's going to be a complete clusterfuck. Holy shit.
Oh, that's going to be a train wreck of epic proportions. I pity the poor fucking cameraman and the people on production.
To be fair, it's not going to be the Butthole of Doom, so it's going to be alright.
We're
not guaranteed Homicide getting stuck at the top of the cage.
Oh, God.
You know, John Morrison climbed the cage before and did not get stuck. So I don't see how Homicide gets fucked up like that. I mean...
Because it's Homicide.
I mean, hell, he actually fucked up climbing a gigantic fence.
He actually went into an interview and explained, yeah, they told me to, like, practice climbing this because they said it's kind of hard getting out of the top. And he went, no, I'll be fine.
Oh, yeah, and then stuck up there for, like, 5 minutes. Because mind you, this was going up against Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, and Vince McMahon on Raw. You can imagine Twitter fucking ripping shit on TNA that whole night when everything just went wrong. Like, everything that could have gone wrong did.
Yeah, it's kind of a nice metaphor for TNA. Just someone loosely dangling there, trying desperately to get a foothold.
No, what makes it worse, that match ended in a disqualification. How do you end a cage match in a disqualification?
You let Vince Russo book?
That would be a prime factor.
You're not wrong, because he's the same asshole that gave us a reverse battle royale and a King of the Mountain match. Oh, my God. I don't understand whose bright ideas were those. And I know Jeff Jarrett is a smart guy, but King of the Mountain was so dumb.
Oh, yeah.
I had to watch King of the Mountain matches with a list of rules sitting beside me just to figure out what the hell was happening.
And even then, you couldn't understand shit because they changed the rules every time they did the match.
Yo, and Feast and Fired was terrible. Don't get me wrong. You know, TNA, I give TNA credit for being like the first people to come up with some kind of money in the bank thing like that. But Feast and Fired was just way too convoluted.
I'm pretty sure Feast and Fired came after.
No, I think it came first. We can always double check.
Okay. When did Chris Jericho invent Money in the Bank?
WrestleMania 21, which would be 2005.
So I'm just wondering, do we get R-Truth being trapped in his pod with a spider?
You're right. It is 2007. You're right.
Okay.
I'll give you that.
Because I remember thinking, wow, this is just Money in the Bank, just like pushed way too hard.
As Wikipedia says, the idea of the holder of the briefcase receiving title match is similar to that of the Money in the Bank ladder match conducted in WWE, with the difference that WWE only offers one briefcase, and the winner of its match has a guaranteed WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I thought it was earlier than that, because it sounds like something that Vince Russo would have came up with years ago. And WWE and Jericho would just look at it and be like, let's refine that. Because, you know, Jericho invented everything.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah, but damn. Yo, but R-Truth in a pod with a spider? You know what? That needs to happen.
Just have it dangling from the top.
Have a bag just like dangling from the top and it just rips open as soon as the pod opens up. Like R2 fucking runs his head into the turnbuckle, like knocks himself out.
You know what?
Someone brings a bag of spiders down to the match and just dumps them in the pod while he's still in there.
Or dumps it into the pod right before he gets in there. And it's just like, and he doesn't see it because, you know, it's all black. And then he steps on it and he fucking runs himself ragged and tired in the pod.
You get one of those plastic spiders with the suction cups on the bottom and stick it to the glass of the pod just where his eye line's going to be.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Just for the comedy.
Oh, man, you don't understand.
Well, this is the thing. They make a big thing out of R-Truth being afraid of spiders. Why not use it?
And no, that's the thing. You guys hated that shit when Stardust did it.
Because it was stupid.
Wrestling is stupid!
Thank you, Doug!
I've said it before, Doug. I just don't have a I just never had a platform to say it.
Wait, you guys had a spider storm in Australia?
Wait, what?
Country New South Wales, a whole heap of spiders were migrating through and ended up in the same area, practically covered entire farmlands with spider webs and, of course, themselves.
Damn.
Yeah, R-Truth would never be caught dead.
Because everything here wants to kill you, so.
Especially that big-ass kangaroo that I saw on TV.
Yeah, he just decided, I'm going to take this driveway, man.
Yep.
You don't fuck with kangaroos.
Yeah, nope. Damn kangaroos.
Mm-mm. Thou shalt not fuck with kangaroos at all.
There you go. Yeah, anyway, Bowman, we got to move on and get this show finished.
Man, go ahead. I'll just go play some more video games and be antisocial for Memorial Day.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling in, and don't be shy to call in anytime that you feel like you're able to stay up late enough to catch us live.
That'll be recently. I don't have school anymore. Oh, wait, I do. Fuck, summer semester starts next week. But yes.
Yeah, you got another week to go, so.
Yeah, all right, y'all. Enjoy yourselves.
All right, brother. Take care.
Later, Bowman.
Clinton Bowman, everybody, calling into the WTR hotline and having a great old chat with us. We'll open up the phone lines more often on a more regular basis. And, we'll just do a segment taking your calls and getting whatever's on your mind. But for right now, I think it's time for the all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop-de-freaking-doo!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
As we close out the second round, it's the Red Arrow taking on the Banzai Drop Omega.
Both finishers that only work because of the physique of the one pulling it off. Because I'm sorry, like if Rey Mysterio does the Banzai Drop, it's not an impressive finisher. It just isn't. And in fact, if it is someone the size of Yokozuna doing the Red Arrow, on the other hand, it is an amazing finisher.
Imagine all that fat flipping around in the air.
Someone do that. So like, someone load up WWE 2K15 or whatever first game gets the Red Arrow, if it doesn't have it.
It's already in the game.
Good. Program the Big Show to do that move.
I shall work on it this evening. Video coming on YouTube.
Now, the Red Arrow is a magnificent finisher. It's very impressive. It looks like it has a good impact to it. And yeah, you don't have to be pushing 700 pounds to actually make it look devastating.
Right. Alright, so Red Arrow 1. Oh my Jesus, what I just found. Anyway. Maze. Maze, your turn.
Yeah, I'm going Red Arrow as well. To be honest, Bonzai Drop is pretty much limited to guys who have fat asses. Scott Steiner. Fat asses! But yeah, when you go up against something like the Red Arrow, that if you get somebody who can actually do it is fucking amazing, just like any other top rope maneuver. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Red Arrow.
Tim, and I'm sharing video with people now. Tim, your thoughts?
I am going to pick the Bonzai Drop just because my choice doesn't matter anymore. Because the Red Arrow moves on.
The Red Arrow moves on, and I wait to see if people watch the video now.
World's strongest Red Arrow.
Yeah.
What's physics?
What the hell?
So what I found was Mark Henry in Adrian Neville's tights, mind you, doing the Red Arrow in the video game.
But back up the video, he's doing dives out the ring.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening.
Pretty much somebody made Mark Henry create a wrestler and just gave him everything Adrian Neville.
Well, in the old ones, you could actually change the existing, you could change the existing moveset of the characters in game.
You can in this one too.
That's how I beat the challenge modes, is I changed everyone's finishers to like a harmless back roll.
Oh my God, it's the same person put Big Show in Rey Mysterio's outfit. Then. Anyway.
They've also got Bad News Ryback. Basically Barrett in Ryback's gear.
And Triple H is CM Punk. Okay. Anyway, getting back on track. We have the RKO versus the Tombstone Mace.
Oh my God, Shawn Michaels is done by The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Oh, that is fucking awesome.
Anyway.
Oh God,
sorry, what moves are we picking again?
RKO and the Tombstone.
I'm going to give it up for the Tombstone. It's simple, and yet it hasn't been ripped off 40,000 times. So, yeah, Tombstone. Ooh, look, Great Khali is Rob Van Dam.
No!
That's sacrilege. Just ask Omega.
Oh, God, that hurts to even know about.
Alright. One for the Tombstone, Omega.
What are we doing again?
Going on YouTube. No, on the all-time greatest. RKO Tombstone.
Yeah, thank you. We'll be back in. I like the RKO for how quick it can be hit, and if it's applied diamond cutter style rules, you can get it hit out of a lot of different positions. A lot of different quick finishes can come from the RKO. The Tombstone is kind of a softer version of a pile driver. You're just not jumping down and sitting on a person's head when you do it. It's just the more iconic move, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost sacrilegious, but I'm gonna go RKO based on versatility.
As Tim now gets to break the tie.
I'm going with Tombstone.
Any particular reason?
Because of Diamond Cutter, Stunner RKO.
Alright then. There you go. So we'll have round three starting in 2 weeks, because next week is the pay-per-view. So there you go, as the Red Arrow and the Tombstone move.
All the
on.
Shit on YouTube, you guys. It's just wrong.
But it's so much fun.
It's just wrong.
Oh, no, I found my favorite now.
I'm just watching Bray, RV Cully.
Bray Wyatt as Bo Dallas.
It's awesome. I did that in the game. It is something to behold.
Alright, I'll watch that one next.
Something to believe in.
Something to believe in. That's a good way to put it, because it's, you see the real husky side of Bray Wyatt. As he does the jiggle, jiggle, jiggle. Anyway, quick hits time.
Let's
yes.
do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk for you. Quick hits. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hits.
And we start with Tim. And Tim, why aren't blueberries blue?
Because they're not really sad, despite popular thought.
Alright, we'll go with that. Mace, what would happen if Batman got bitten by a vampire?
Oh, wow.
He'd turn into a vampire. Story's already been done. He got bitten by Dracula, turned into a vampire, found a way to cure vampirism. The end.
Because he's Bruce fucking Wayne.
No, because he's fucking Batman.
Same. Oh, same.
Anyway, Omega, why did the Yankee Doodle name the feather in his hat Macaroni?
Because the rock in his shoe was already named Spaghetti.
There you go. Tim, is chili a soup?
No, don't be silly. Chili is chili. It's like a stew, but a real chili has no beans in it.
Mace, why is the number zero on a phone after one, not before one?
Because it would look very awkward if they did it the other way around.
Okay. And Omega, is a hot dog a sandwich?
It's closer to a hoagie than anything else.
But is
which
it,
I guess is a type of sandwich, so...
Yeah,
let's
That's
go
like
with that.
That's like a sub.
So yeah, let's say yes on that one.
And there you go.
And that's it, another edition of WTR Sunday. Just a programming note, everybody. We are on at 11 o'clock Eastern next week because of the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. So if you got the network, enjoy it, and then come and listen to us talk about it. If you want to know what happened and you don't have the network, tune in. We'll tell you. Not a problem.
You should have the network. It's free this month.
Yeah, there you go.
For new subscribers.
That being said, as I'm being talked over all the time.
Hey, you
tomorrow
were
night, immediately following Raw, the post show. Now you can talk.
Hey, you were talking over
and
me.
And not get yelled at.
You were talking over
or
me
or given a hard time.
I know, exactly.
Just talk about Raw's post show tomorrow.
11:10 p.m. Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll break down everything that happens on the Go Home Edition to Elimination Chamber on the Raw post show right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, and of course, Thursday night's another edition of the multi-time award-winning The Rock, where the host asks Lindsay Ward.
Go back and listen to our episode last week where we covered both Payback and NXT TakeOver and get our full live reaction to that. This week on the show, we'll talk Elimination Chamber, NXT SmackDown, because we do actually watch it, and so much more. It's The Rack. Thursday night, it's 10 p.m. Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow the show on Twitter at WTR_Rack, Facebook.com/WTRTheRack. You can go to YouTube.com/WTRTheRack and check out the website, rackradioshow.com, and you can also follow Lindsay on the Twitter at Linsward, LinsWard, and check out her artwork at Behance.net/Linsward.
And of course, Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as they get to it, that's Eastern Standard Time, or Eastern Daylight Time now, another edition of Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Oh, and it's known as CB Radio. It's the weird, it's the wacky. We play games. It's unusual. It's Subway Rambles. It's Blame Rob. It's games. It's all the fun stuff you can handle. It's CB Radio Live, midnight-ish, on the Wild Talk Radio Network every Saturday night. Go to CB Radio WTR on the Twitter, facebook.com/cigarettebuttsandbandanas. CB Radio Live is the website, and when a celebrity dies, it's hashtag Blame Rob.
Yeah, there you go. And, of course, we already mentioned the programming note for next Sunday night. You can follow Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, on the Twitter machines, at Wild Talk Radio. Speaking about the Twitter machines, you can follow me at Flames Forum, with an S at the end, or at Trivial Tim. Also, follow Stampede Wrestling at Stampede Wrestle. You can also follow the Wild Talk Radio Network on Facebook, wildtalkradio.com/wildtalkradio network, or facebook.com/groups/wildtalkradio network.
Hold on. You did wildtalkradio.com/wildtalkradio network.
Well, facebook.com. Jeez, pay attention to what I mean.
I have to make it clear. It's facebook.com/wildtalkradio network and facebook.com/groups/wildtalkradio network. And you can also follow Stampede Wrestling on the Facebook too, right, Tim?
Yeah, facebook.com/originalstampedewrestling. Speaking of which, you're going to want to tune in next week because if not for the Elimination Chamber review show, there is going to be a